Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, a conversation designed to help leaders go further faster. On today's podcast, we'll explore how your leadership can last beyond your lifetime. Andy, today's podcast is inspired by a talk you recently gave at LeaderCast. The theme of the event was Beyond You, and I know that idea really resonated with you.
Yeah, for the past three years, I have been invited to participate in LeaderCast. LeaderCast is a big leadership event here in the city of Atlanta. In fact, if you've not been a part of LeaderCast and you're one of our podcast listeners, if you go to leadercast.com, you can find out more about LeaderCast. It's a dispersed learning community that takes place on one day. And so what happens is every year when LeaderCast comes up with a theme, they send me the theme and ask me to create a talk around the theme. And they always come up with great themes. And of course, it's a challenge for me as a leader because I am asked to create a talk and some points and some new ideas around their theme. So this year, as you said, the theme was Beyond You Leadership. And I really love the idea of thinking through what it means to become a Beyond You leader and to create a Beyond You leadership culture in an organization. Beyond You leader being a leader that thinks outside of themselves and thinks outside even their current generation of impact. So it's something I think great leaders are always thinking about, what's my legacy? So that's what we talked about.
In your talk, you defined Beyond You leader as a leader who fearlessly and selflessly empowers leaders around them as well as those coming along behind them. What did you mean by fearlessly and selflessly?
When you hear the word fearless within the context of leadership, we think new challenges, risk-taking, do something no one's ever done before. But when I talk about fearless within the context of being a Beyond You leader, I'm not talking about that. I'm referring to the fear that some of us feel when we look behind us and we see somebody coming along behind us that's from the next generation that we think might be better than us, more talented than us, better educated than us, further along than we were when we were their age. You know, we're running along about 85 miles an hour. They're going 90. So there are these rear-end collisions. They keep asking all these pesky questions that are really good questions, questions that perhaps we should be asking. So what happens sometimes in leadership, because it's easy to be threatened by next generation leaders, we miss an opportunity to invest in next generation leaders. And a Beyond You leader is a leader that realizes this is an opportunity. This is not a threat. I'm not going to be afraid of this. I'm going to figure out how to leverage this for the sake of the next generation as it relates to this current organization or any organization or just my legacy in general. So that's what I mean by a fearless leader.
And you said a Beyond You leader fearlessly and selflessly empowers the leaders around them. Talk a minute about the empowering part.
Yeah, this is something we have talked about before, that with leadership comes power. It's unavoidable. Nobody seems to like that word, but it's true. If you're a leader, you have power. And the better leader you are, generally, the more power you have, which means your words are powerful and you have leverage in other people's lives. Leaders control salary, schedule, advancement, bonuses. In fact, leaders with our words, we actually have the power over the way people view themselves if they feel good about what they're doing in the organization. So the question isn't, do leaders have power? The question is, what are we going to do with it? And a Beyond You leader, a leader that really is thinking in terms of next generation, developing next generation leaders, they're looking for ways to leverage their power for the benefit of the leaders around them. And again, when you hear that, you think, well, yeah, absolutely. But this is something that doesn't happen if we're not intentional about it, because we're busy, we're threatened, they're not doing it the way we would do it. You know, what were they thinking? What are they thinking? But a Beyond You leader says, hey, I'm going to look for ways to leverage my influence to influence the generation that's coming along behind me within my current context, within my current organization.
Andy, even though, as you said, Beyond You leadership is selfless, you also told your audience there is something to be gained.
Yes, there is something to be gained by being a selfless leader, and here's why. And here's something we all know intuitively. We just need to hear it every once in a while. In fact, I wrote this down. It's in my office because I need to see it a lot. The value of my life, or let's just make it general, the value of a life is always measured by how much of it is given away. The value of a life is always measured by how much of it's given away. We are reminded of this every time we attend a funeral. Every time we go to a funeral and a life is celebrated, what's celebrated? What's celebrated is generosity. What's celebrated is selflessness. We never celebrate accumulation. We never celebrate awards. We never celebrate what a person owns. We always celebrate generosity and selflessness. Generosity and selflessness makes our lives bigger and makes our lives more valuable. And at the end of our lives, that's what's going to be celebrated. So if you take that idea that no one would argue with, and then you look at your current work context and you ask the question, How do I add value to my own life by adding value to the lives of people around us? Then for me, that's very motivating because I don't have time to do this. And in a few minutes, maybe we'll talk about some of the ways that you and I do this. There's never time. I never walk away from investing in our young leaders going, wow, that really helped me. Mm. There's no direct correlation. But at the end of the day, you know, at the end of a career, at the end of a season, at the end of my life will be evaluated by how much of it was given away. So as leaders, a Beyond You leader is able to look at every leadership decision through that grid. And again, it takes us beyond ourselves and we become Beyond You leaders.
Andy, that all sounds really good. But, you know, in day-to-day life, it's hard to keep that in focus.
It is. And I think part of it is this. We celebrate generosity. You know, but we generally don't celebrate generosity till the end but we envy accumulation. You know, but the thing that has my attention most of the time is what can I accumulate? And I'm not talking just about stuff. And if we're not careful, our envy, whether it's, you know, for stuff, our envy for influence, for promotion, for recognition, if we're not careful, it causes us to spend our leadership years chasing the wind. The writer of Ecclesiastes, this is this powerful idea of chasing the wind, which means you chase things that you never catch. Mm-hmm. You pursue things that never really bring any full and final satisfaction. You get to the end of a season, you get to the end of your career, and you've accumulated a lot of things, and you realize that it's just not satisfying because, again, the value of a life is always measured in terms of how much of it was given away. And if I spend my years chasing things, if I spend my years accumulating, then I have devalued my own life and there's no final sense of satisfaction. So, you know, a great leader doesn't simply accomplish great things. A great leader understands there's something beyond the things. If we lose sight of this at the end of our careers or at the end of our productive years, we might have that Braveheart moment, you know, where you would give up so much of what you have to be able to go back and give so much away. And I do think at the end of seasons, at the end of careers, at the end of lives, people look back and go, wow, if I had it to do all over again, I would have added value to other people because in adding value to other people, I added value to my own life because the value of my life will be determined by how much of it was given away. So it's such an important idea. And again, to keep it central in our leadership and our organizations, it's hard to do, but it's absolutely critical if we're going to be great leaders.
Andy, in your talk, you gave three suggestions for how to become a Beyond You leader. I'd like to get you to expound on those a little. The first one is make as few decisions as possible.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before, and this is so important. In fact, when I did this talk for LeaderCast, I had everybody in the audience, I think there were, you know, 6,000 or 7,000 people, repeat after me the following: you decide, you decide. I said, some of you have never said this in your life because you think because you're the boss, the manager, the department director, you know, whatever, the franchise owner, that you have to decide everything. But great leaders, Beyond You leaders, look for opportunities to look at the people around them and say, hey, that's a big decision. That's an important decision. You decide. I'll leave that up to you. You decide and I'll have your back regardless of how that turns out. So one of the ways that you invest in the leaders coming along behind you, one of the ways you apply this is you exercise as little authority as possible. In fact, the more authority you have, the fewer decisions you should be making anyway. I mean, great leaders just don't make a lot of decisions. So one of the easy ways to apply this whole idea is to get in the habit of saying, you decide.
Andy, one of the quotes that I took away from your talk was, as your organizational authority increases, your organizational IQ decreases.
And this is one of the primary reasons we should make as few decisions as possible. What I mean by that is this, is as a person moves up in an organization, they are responsible for things they don't know anything about. So their organizational authority increases because they're responsible for more. Their IQ goes down because, again, they're responsible for things they don't know anything about. I don't know anything about IT. But if IT crashes, I'm ultimately responsible. We're in the process of building two buildings right now. I'm ultimately responsible. You do not want me on a construction site. So my IQ decreases while my responsibility increases, which means we should be making fewer and fewer decisions, which means we should look at the people around us and say, you decide, you decide, you decide. And by valuing their decision-making process, we value them. And ultimately, you know, better decisions are made. But it's just a practical way to give away leadership. It's a practical way to become a Beyond You leader.
Andy, I've heard you in other talks say this in a different way, that leaders who can't distinguish between authority and competency, they make too many decisions.
And they're often bad decisions.
Exactly.
And again, this is a bit of a leadership emotional intelligence issue, is to be able to distinguish and to admit that I have authority over things I'm not competent in. Mm. So the leader who can't make that distinction, they're going to be way too involved in the details. They're not going to give away leadership, and they miss the broader opportunity of becoming a beyond you leader, investing in the leaders around them. So just get in the habit of saying, you decide.
That leads us to the next suggestion you gave, which is work for your team.
Another way to actualize becoming a beyond you leader is to look for ways, as you said, to work for your team, which essentially says, how can I leverage my authority, my resources, the things I have access to in this organization to help you do what you do better? It really goes back to one of the questions we talked about last month. What can I do to help? Mm. And so one of the things that I, do every year with my direct reports is I say, hey, what are your three objectives or four objectives, or, what are you trying to do this year? I look at them and then I say, okay, now how can I help? How I have more access to more resources. I have more authority than anybody in the organization. So how can I help you go further faster? How can I leverage who I am in the organization to help you? So anytime a leader, division director, department director, owner, whatever it might be, says to the people around them, okay, now that we've agreed upon what it is you're going to do, how can I help? You've empowered them because you're leveraging your power for what they came there to do. So again, it's just a practical way of fearlessly and selflessly investing in that next generation of leaders.
All right, Andy, we've talked about you decide. We've talked about work for your team. The final one was empty your cup.
Yeah, empty your cup is a word picture that we use here. And essentially, the assumption is this: as a leader, I do not have what it takes to fill anybody else's leadership cup. My responsibility is to empty mine. Mm. This is perhaps the best opportunity a leader has and the most underutilized opportunity, because this takes time and it takes a little bit of intentionality. I tell our leaders all the time, you're smarter than you think you are. You know more than you think you know. You don't know what you know until you're talking to someone who doesn't know. Mm-hmm. And there are leaders and managers and, young leaders in your organization, in many cases, that don't even report to you, that could benefit from what you know, but there's no opportunity to tell them what you know. So I say look for opportunities to empty your cup. For example, and one of the examples one of the applications I gave to that audience is, look, when you read something interesting in a leadership journal or Forbes or whatever it is you read, and you think, wow, that was a good article on leadership, forward it to four or five of the sharp leaders in your organization. They don't even have to report to you. Say, hey, I just read this. I thought this was great. Read it, and I'll buy you breakfast. Pull them together and just walk through and talk through an article. You don't have to prepare anything, but within the context of that conversation, you're going to empty your cup into theirs. Mm. This can be formal. This can be monthly. This can be randomly. For me, I feel like my responsibility is to empty my cup into our public communicators. That's something that I'm good at, and I'll never fill their cup. They'll never do it the way I do, but I'm responsible for emptying my cup. But that doesn't happen unless I'm intentional and I create some opportunities for that. And every single leader listening can do this if you just think about, and within the context of my work, my business, my schedule, how could I do that for young leaders? It's a lot of fun. And again, you don't know what you know, how much you know, until you're with people who don't know. And then you realize, wow, I really have accumulated some skill and some knowledge through the years. And, people are taking notes on what I'm saying. So don't miss that opportunity. It's better. It makes your organization stronger. And again, I just think it's our responsibility as leaders.
Andy, at LeaderCast, you mentioned a man who was a real beyond you leader who regularly emptied his cup into your life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's my hero, Charlie Renfro. I've been fortunate to have two or three people do this, but Charlie is the guy that came along at a critical time in my development as a leader. He was a gentleman that went to our church. I've never worked for him. He's never worked for me. For whatever reason, to this day, when I ask him, he just kind of shrugs. I said, Charlie, why did you take interest in me? And so he said, hey, let's have breakfast. That was it. Let's have breakfast. I went to meet Charlie for breakfast one morning in Atlanta on my way to work, and we started meeting every other Tuesday morning, just the two of us. I did not have an important job. I was not carrying any responsibility. He was in the outdoor business, the sign business. He had two or three companies, four or five companies. He'd show up in a suit with cufflinks, knew everybody in the restaurant. I mean, he was the guy every guy wants to be. And he would walk in, and I've told this story so many times. He would sit down, and he had this big ring, this gold ring, and he would slap it on the table, and he'd say, "Andy, what you working on big? What you working on big?" And I wasn't working on anything big. You know, I was just trying to get kids home from Six Flags safely, you know, and he was about to get on a plane and go do battle with New York bankers. You know, what you working on big? And what that told me is, Andy, I think you can work on some things that are big. Mm. And so Charlie just poured into me. He didn't plan anything. We rarely read anything. He just told me stories. And I learned so many things about leadership listening to his stories. One of my favorite principles, I call it the 500-pound gorilla principle. Charlie recognized in me a tendency to avoid conflict. And so I would tell him what's going on at work, and he would interrupt me and say, no, don't. Look, you need to walk into his office. You need to sit down. You need to open the conversation. You need to initiate the conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, I was thinking I wouldn't even go to work today. I don't want to talk about this. And he'd say, no, you need to walk up to that cage and open the cage and let the 500-pound gorilla into the room. So it was just those kinds of things. It wasn't formal. But again, I learned so much from Charlie. He was a beyond you leader. There was nothing for him to gain from spending that time with me. And to this day, I quote Charlieisms all the time. Mm. I'm so grateful for Charlie Renfroe.
Andy, you also addressed in your talk an objection that could be going through the minds of some of our listeners right now, and that's the idea that, yeah, I'll start when I'm the boss.
Yeah, and this is what we do because, again, we don't know what we know. We don't think we have time. You know, who am I? I'm in middle management. Nobody takes me seriously. But here's the deal. If you don't start this now, you will not start it later, and here's why, because you'll be in a really bad habit. You will believe that you got to where you are by hoarding rather than helping. You'll develop a pattern of, hey, you know, now that I'm moving up through the organization, now that I have more responsibility, I didn't get here by helping the people around me. I didn't get here by investing in other leaders. I got here by hoarding opportunities and hoarding influence. So if you're in that habit, just because you own your own franchise, start your own business, run your own division or department, you will not suddenly wake up one day and say, now I'm in a position to help other leaders. You won't. You will continue in the habits that you developed as a young leader. And I think one of the great things that Charlie helped me understand was I could do for others what he was doing for me even though I was in my 20s. So I did. Mm. In fact, I met in the same restaurant. I met with Charlie with a group of college students that were interested in leadership and interested in things I was interested in. And I didn't know anything. But I got in the habit of always looking behind to say, whose cup can I empty my cup into? So this was a habit. It's been a habit for years, and I think you can't start this too early. So don't use that as an excuse. Once I'm the boss, once people take me seriously, if you don't do it now, you probably won't do it then.
Well, Andy, as we wrap up today's podcast, any final thoughts?
Yeah, in conclusion, I would simply say if your leadership isn't all about you, it will live beyond you. If your leadership isn't all about you, it will live beyond you. If your leadership is all about you, it comes to an end when you come to an end. If it's all about hoarding influence and all about hoarding resources, you know, when they bury you, your influence is buried with it. But a beyond you leader is a leader that understands the value of my life isn't what's happening right now. The value of my life is how much of it I give away. So this is something all of us have an opportunity to do. It's something that if we're not intentional, we won't do it. And I think it's something that if we don't do it, we will look back and regret it. Again, we'll have that brave heart moment. We'll wish we could come back to this season in our life, change our schedules, look for some people to invest in, and to become a beyond you leader.
Well, Andy, thanks so much for taking this time with us today, and thank you to our audience for listening. To hear more from Andy on leadership, please visit andystanley.com.